Welcome to wherever you are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, Canada. You are listening to the fourth and final Dispatch Wicked Little Town, my audio snapshots from the 38th annual Toronto International Film Festival that has wrapped up tonight in my hometown of Toronto, Canada. This probably sounds a little bit different than everything else you've heard this week. We're back home. We're not at any coffee shop, not at any cafe, where I'm seated very comfortably on my love seat, where I plan on spending much of the next 24 hours, because I've spent much of the last 11 days in cinematic bliss, in movie-going nirvana around the theaters of my fair city. And as is slightly a custom here at the Matinee Cast, I close out the festival podcasting experience with the one and only love of my life, Lindsay Rigoni, is here. How are you, honey?
Tired. How are you?
Me, about the same.
I'm pretty sure every Film Fest podcast end, I've answered that exact same question with that same answer.
And I've probably said the exact same. And as well, although we are hoping that this will not be the case this year, we also usually say, I haven't seen you all week. This year we had a whopping 5 screenings together, I think?
No, I think
4? Four, awesome. Out of 25 each.
But we got together for lunch a couple times.
We did. This is true. We tried to get that in there. We actually had some, you know, we had 2 evenings where we were home. That was kind of crazy. But I think next year we might want to make a concerted effort to get together a little bit more often for a few more of these shows. We wrapped our festival and the movie that we're going to talk about for a little while here at the beginning of the show with a New Zealand offering, which was actually first brought to my attention by a listener of ours named Stevie Taylor, who is at school right now in Christchurch, New Zealand. It's a movie called What We Do in the Shadows, which is a mockumentary about a coven of vampires.
It's a documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Of course. I should not. It is a documentary about a coven of vampires living as flatmates in New Zealand, and we learn that as much as we may believe that they are dark and mysterious and romantic creatures, it turns out vampires are very much like us. They don't like to do their dishes. They have loud house guests. They have trouble divvying up the chores. And I get the feeling, because we kind of talked a little bit about this, I get the feeling that you really enjoyed this movie.
Oh, I loved this movie. I mean, it's very informative. We learn that, you know, just like vampires prefer virgin blood, we prefer a sandwich if nobody's fucked it.
Yes, that's true.
It just makes it more enjoyable.
Yeah. The movie is directed by Jermaine Clement, he of Flight of the Conchords fame. Jermaine is also one of the stars of this movie. He plays Vladislav. The other two stars are, three stars, really. There's Taika Waititi, who plays Viago, who's really our protagonist. Like, he's the guy who's kind of front and center the most. There's also Jonathan Brew, who plays Deacon. They call him the young bad boy. He's only 180 something years old, so they say that he's like, you know, he's a young bad boy. And then we also have Stuart Rutherford, who plays Stu in the movie.
He's incredible.
He is awesome in this movie. He is fantastic. We chose this. We have our own little tradition of trying to end the festival together, and we chose this one to be.
This is definitely, of all the years that we've done the festival, the best last film we've seen.
The only one that comes close to this for me is,
if you say The Master, I'm gonna slap you.
Well, as much as I adore The Master,
that is not a last
film
when you you're tired and you've seen 30 films in the week. The Master's not the way to go.
No, I was gonna say the only one that comes close is, there was a year we saw Outsourced.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which never did see the light of day.
No, although it did get turned into a crappy TV series.
For about 6 episodes.
But this is a better film. That was just like a cute, lighthearted.
So what did you like about What We Do in the Shadows?
It was great humor.
How so?
It's my kind of humor. I love...
Explain your kind of humor, please.
My kind of humor is really... subtle. Like, they just kind of...
Is that what we're going with?
Well, they just kind of play it like it's real, and I love that. I do love the... this type of documentary format. The performances in this movie are great. And they're subtle, even though they're... I mean, there's moments where they're a little over the top. The moment when the one guy is telling the story about how he was turned into a vampire.
Right.
And it's like on a close-up, like it's a formal interview with him. And he's like, it's this horrible story. You know, oh yeah, I was walking down the street. I walked by this castle and this thing flew from the sky to attack me. And then it just pulls back and there's like this creepy vampire on the other side of the couch with him. And he's like, and it was Peter. We're still friends to this day. It's just like so, the timing of it was perfect.
Peter is played by Ben Francham. And Peter, like, to kind of put a point on this, Peter is very much a Nosferatu-type vampire. He's got the bald head, the pointy ears.
He's supposed to be, like, what, 8,000 years old?
Yeah, yeah. And Peter is, like, in this group of roommates, he's the roommate that they don't even bother with. You know, he's the one they're like, listen, we're just going to cover him. You know, he doesn't need to be involved in this decision. He's not going to be doing the dishes. And yeah, to see him, you know, kind of come in and out of the fray.
But seeing, like, this group of vampires have, like, flat meetings where they argue about the household chores and doing dishes and
right.
dusting and I love the fact, because I didn't really see it coming, was, like, one of their victims turns into one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't see that coming. He just seemed like an extra.
Yeah.
And then he's really funny. He's got great timing. He's just this kind of a D-bag that kind of enters the fold. It was unexpected, and the movie didn't quite go where I thought it was going to go, and it was fantastic.
Well, the thing I loved about him, like, and one of the things that like really, really amused me about when he shows up, his name, I'm struggling to find his name. I want to say that
he was Nick, right?
Yeah, his character's name is Nick. He's played by Corey Gonzalez McCure. And the thing I loved about him is when he shows up, like so they think they kill him.
I think we're telling too much of this story.
No. It's not like, this is not a movie where, this is not really a movie about plot, to be entirely honest. Like, there are things that I'm not going to reveal, but I don't really think that this is a movie where we could give away the story. Just by saying it's a documentary / mockumentary about vampires, I think, like, your brain can go a zillion one places. And, like, he's a vampire who they think they kill. As it turns out, they just turned him. And now, you know, because of that, they basically need to adopt him into their flat. And the thing that I loved about him is when he gets incorporated into the group is that he introduces these vampires to modern technology.
No, Stu does.
Does Stu do it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was Nick.
Because they all hate Nick.
Right. But they love Stu because Stu shows them, like, Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, so the one that Jermaine plays, Vlad, they call him Vlad the Poker, you know, which is a neat play on Vlad the Impaler. But, of course, you introduce him to Facebook, and he's just like, he's like a kid in a candy store. Because
you can poke people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, or like, you know, there's a line where he says, I'm doing my dark bidding on the internet. No, there's a lamp. I'm bidding on it. You know,
with the table. Get it right.
I'm sorry. Again, it's very, very late in the thing. So, like, did you, when we went to choose this movie, did you look too deeply into it? Because I really just went on recommendation.
So did I. I actually didn't read into it at all. I saw Jemaine Clements did it. That's kind of all I need in order to pick a movie.
Right.
I don't normally pick Midnight Madness films because I don't like horror. I don't like scary films. I don't like torture porn.
Yeah.
And they tend to be a lot of that.
Yeah.
There's one or two every year, sometimes less. Like, sometimes it's just the one every year that is just a little more of a quirky comedy that kind of gets in, like a dark comedy or some kind of cultish film. So I almost wouldn't have looked at this one because I think, you know, the picture of it just had blood on it. I would have skipped over it. Someone said, no, you'll love it. I think Jason Gorber told me it was, because he's seen it already. He said it's Spinal Tap with vampires.
Yeah.
I was like, and then I looked it up and it's Jemaine Clements. And I was like, yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah. The picture in the book was Viago standing in just a bloody smear of a bathroom.
Just from that, I would have just...
Which we never actually see. Like, that's the thing. Like, that is a still shot that they just did for yucks,
isn't
right?
That
like
the photo they do at the end?
No, that's something different. Like, you see that picture too, but the main one had him standing in this absolutely blood-spattered bathroom, and I kept waiting for that moment to come up.
Well, we see the bloody bathroom at one point.
Right, but not the way he's in it. Like, he's in it actually all proud and happy. So, as if, like, he did it. So, I really hope that this is the kind of movie that a lot more people find out about as the weeks and months go on. Because what we do in the shadows was a really fun time. It's a really funny movie.
To sum up this film, as we just spoke to Jemaine Clements before we left TIFF today.
Yeah.
And you actually told him that you would describe this film as what?
This is the Kiwi Citizen Kane.
Yes.
And I will be writing.
He approved of that.
Yes, he did. And Jermaine, if for some freak reason you're listening, I wholeheartedly believe this. This is Peter Jackson ain't got shit on you. This is the Kiwi Citizen Kane. What We Do in the Shadows. For the love of God, go see it. We have spent the last 10 days before today, so 11 in total, soaking up all kinds of movies. We only saw four or five. No, we saw quite a few in common, just a kind of opposite screenings. But how has your week been? The week on the whole, like, were you happy with what you chose this year? Like, I know you got one or two clunkers. Well, if you were to sum up the week in like a sentence or two.
I didn't really see a lot of films that I was like, this is the greatest film. Sometimes you have a clear front runner at the end of TIFF that is like the greatest film you saw.
Yeah.
I had a lot that I would say are tied that, okay, I liked equally. A lot of films that were good. Perfectly good films, nothing special about them,
mm-hmm,
and a few that were only one film that I actually didn't like.
Okay.
What were some of your favorites?
Whiplash.
Right, which I did not catch up with. Tell people a little bit about that.
Whiplash is a film about a drumming instructor and his student with J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller. Is that his name?
That's his name. Yep.
And man, is this film intense and amazing.
Okay.
I mean, J.K. Simmons' performance in this, he just plays like a drill sergeant of a teacher. I mean, whipping shit out his head.
Oh, cool.
And especially if you have, because I actually played drums when I was young. No, I don't want to say I played drums.
You learned how.
I play drums in my high school band.
Gotcha.
So like, no.
Oh, you're
like,
that kind of nerd. Okay. Like, right.
The drummer in, a rock band. Yeah. I was the drummer in my high school band.
Right.
So just like long scenes devoted to him trying to get it in time. And even I feel like I have pretty good rhythm. And if you hear, J.K. Simmons, like, he kind of snap him in and count him in and come in and just say, nope, you're not quite on my time. And it's so subtle, like it would be almost impossible for anyone other than like this crazy teacher to tell the tiny beat that he might, it's not even a beat, it's like a fraction of a beat that might not be there. And just the last 10 minutes of this film,
yeah,
if the rest of the film had been utter bullshit,
yeah,
you would still walk away saying this was an amazing film, because the last scene, the last 10 minutes is so incredible. But the rest of the film isn't bullshit. It's really good. And then you walk out with this incredible scene that is so intense. And the audience, you could just feel how tense the whole audience was for this scene. I don't even want to tell you what the scene is.
Okay, I will. Incredible. I'm looking forward to catching up with that one. That was one I couldn't. We were talking earlier on this week about how the schedule at TIFF year in and year out is getting really, really stacked, where it seems like so much of what you want to see is all playing at the same time. So 9 times out of 10, you're not really choosing by title, you're choosing by slot. And that was one of the movies where every time it was slotted, there was something I wanted to see just a little bit more, so I couldn't work it in. So I do look forward to seeing that one when it comes out this fall. Was there another one that really stuck out for you?
I really loved A Pigeon Sat on a Branch Reflecting on Existence.
Which... And like, I gotta be honest, I did not expect you to want to see that, period.
Now,
How in the world, what went through your head when you picked that up?
Well, the title is A Pigeon Sat on a Branch Reflecting on Existence. Right. I didn't read the description.
Okay.
I didn't know what this film was about. I didn't...
Strike you as, like, screamingly highbrow?
I mean, yeah, pardon me, like, I almost didn't even show up that day because I was tired.
Right.
And I haven't seen... The director is Roy Anderson. It's a Swedish film. Yes. I haven't seen his other films, which I've now... This is, like, the third of a trilogy.
Yeah.
And I'm told by our friends who've seen them that they're equally as good, and they're kind of more of the same style. I don't know what that style is going into this film because I've never seen it before. I didn't quite know what I was getting. I actually, and I don't normally like films that, like, these non-narrative, I don't want to say experimental, but it's kind of experimental.
It's avant-garde.
For Canadian audiences. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know what films are like in Sweden as in general. Maybe I'll just assume that all Swedish films are like a pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence. But man, this film is batshit crazy.
Yes, it is.
And amazing.
Yes, it is.
And it ended and I didn't know what the fuck it was about. Sorry to swear, but I didn't know what it was about and I didn't care.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's about the human condition.
It's about reflections.
As Bob told me today.
It's about reflections on existence, you know, like really. It's not just that pigeon's doing it. It allows us to do it too. Both in terms of comedy and in terms of tragedy.
And I mean, there is no pigeon in this film.
Well, it's the first shot, and there's cooing. Like, if you listen closely, every once in a while, there's cooing in the background.
But it's kind of irrelevant. It's just more than that.
It means it's meaningless. Like the title is nice, but it could have been called Pigeon Sandwich for all it mattered to the darn thing. You know, it's not like anything. It's not like the pigeon had anything to do with the plot.
But I mean, some scenes, it's just someone answering a phone, and they're just saying, I'm happy to hear that you're doing fine. Or, I'm glad to hear that you're doing fine. And it's like this line is just recurring.
Yeah.
Over different scenes and different characters. And it's just that. And they usually repeat it twice. There's a scene with, it's just a dance class.
Yeah.
There's no dialogue.
No.
And the teacher just keeps fondling, it's a female teacher, and there's this one male student, she keeps fondling him while he's dancing.
Yeah.
And he keeps awkwardly pushing her away, and she'll come back and, it's incredible.
Yeah. No, it's a wild movie. And that's the kind of thing, like,
I've never seen that outside.
And you know what? Like, I gotta be honest. Like, even if that hadn't been playing at Lightbox, I probably still wouldn't have taken the bait. And I would have been, yeah, I might see that. But I wouldn't have actually gone after it.
And I love that it's all done in wide shots. There's no cutting during a scene. Every scene is a standalone one take.
Static, locked off, one
shot. Static, locked off, master shot.
Yeah.
And you'd think that would be boring, and even the lighting is really flat, which gives it an incredible look, like, unreal look to it.
Yep.
I just loved that film.
Yeah.
I'm definitely watching his other two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. For me, there were two that really, really, really stuck out. I didn't have a great festival, which is to say that there weren't a lot of movies that really knocked me on my ass. Usually there's at least 4, 5, sometimes 6 out of the 25 that I go to see. There were a lot of really good, you know, like really, really good watches, like B+/A- watches. But like our Australian friend Andy Buckle was asking me tonight, he goes, do you think you saw your favorite film of the year this week? And I said, absolutely not. There were two films that I really loved. They may or may not make their way into my top five for the end of the year. And that's a little strange. I think that might have as much to do with my expectations going in and certainly with the films I chose. But I also think that it's a little bit of a down year. In terms, like, I think we're just in a little bit of a state of flux.
What could just be what you chose?
It could. But I just mean, like, even the films I didn't get to see that I want to catch up with, there's only a handful. And, like, the big stuff that's still to come this fall, there's only a little bit that I really, really, really am looking forward to. But, to the positive, the one that stands my favorite of the festival is a Chinese film called Coming Home, which I've talked about a lot to our friends this week. It's by Zhang Yimou, who did Hero, and also did The House of Flying Daggers. This was slightly different for me because I'm new to Yimou as a director, and this was the first time I saw him do a subtle, more modern film, which is to say that nobody's dressed in robes in this. There's no martial arts in this movie.
Then who wants that?
Well, you would think, right? And actually, that was the thing. Like, I saw the title, I saw Zhang Yimou, and I jumped in. And by the way, this year was the first time that really bit me in the ass, because if you did not listen to the last episode where we talked about The Cobbler, it was because I saw the title, the name, and I didn't actually read. So I think I need to do a little bit more reading next year and not just jump after directors. But Coming Home is it's a movie about a couple who are separated when the man is imprisoned in China, and when he is finally released, his relationship has drastically changed with his wife, and he has to give it a lot of care and attention to kind of get back to what he left behind. It is stunning. It is a little slow and a little bit low boil, but it is just absolutely glorious. I've been saying all week that this is a movie that the moment it comes out, you and I will be going to see it, because there are two of the best edited sequences I have ever seen, and I really, really want to get your eyes on this, especially the first of the two. But that one stood up as the favorite of the festival, which is weird because I saw that one back on like Saturday morning, and I kept waiting for something to eclipse it, and nothing ever came around.
One thing that you and I should talk about, something we saw together, was The Last 5 Years.
We'll get there. We'll get there in just a second. Let me just get one more in, and then we'll get to The Last 5 Years. The other film I saw that I really adored, and this was one that I thought was kind of just a throw-in, and I thought it might be one that I heard bad things about, or it might be one that I ditched, was Chris Rock's new movie, written and directed by Chris Rock, along with E stars in it.
I'm
called Top 5.
Incredibly disappointed that I didn't see that.
I'm sort of surprised that you didn't go after it, because it sort of seems like something that you would.
It completely does. I think it was that when you saw that film, I was trying to not see as like a lot of films with big names yep. in it, or so I saw a slightly disappointing film. I think it might have been French. I'm actually not sure. At the same time that you saw Top 5.
Right. Top 5, I caught the third screening of it. It played twice the first weekend, and then it played one more time on the second weekend. And Chris Rock plays an actor. It's really, really self-referential, because he plays a comedian who was just this absolute train wreck of a guy who was like using like crazy, and he went and got clean. Now he's engaged to a reality show star. He's trying to take his career in a new direction. Like, he's trying not to do a comedy this time, and he's trying to do a serious slavery movie. And he ends up wandering around New York City for a day, talking with a journalist, plays by Rosario Dawson, and just discussing his career and where it's at. This is handily the funniest movie I've seen this year. This is Chris Rock on a level that I have just not seen him. And I have like the utmost respect and adoration for Chris Rock. Like, he is the handily one of like the three funniest people of this century, with somebody like Louis C.K. and Jon Stewart. And he has found a whole new gear. I am just wickedly impressed with him as a writer, insanely impressed with him as a director. And the thing I was really happy about with this movie is I was really prodded, like I was kind of really poked and prodded to see it this week, because it's a dirty movie. There's a lot of sex jokes. There's a ton of N-bombs in this movie.
A dirty movie at TIFF.
I know, right? There are some really raunchy jokes, and this thing in its current form is not going to pass the MPAA, but a packed house on a Saturday night at the Ryerson Theater, and they just lapped this up, and the place was rocking. It got bought this week for like $16 million. That may just pay for the soundtrack of this damn movie. And, it's surprising. I don't usually come back to comedies for TIFF. I certainly don't come back to a comedy like Top 5. You know, if I'm saying, oh, yeah, I like the comedy at TIFF, it's usually something like a little bit more highbrow, like Sideways or something like that. So those two really stuck in. Now, you wanted to bring things back around to The Last 5 Years. So let's talk about that. I know you really dug that movie.
I did.
I liked that movie a lot. Except that I just don't think it does much as a movie.
I disagree.
Okay.
What did you want it to do that it didn't do?
Well, it differentiates itself from the stage musical in one key way.
You haven't seen the stage musical.
No, but I learned this week, which is that in the stage musical, Jamie and what's the female character's name?
I can't remember.
I'll look that up while we talk. they're played by Jeremy Jordan and Anna Kendrick, and they are a married couple. We are learning their story in a neat little trick, which is brought over from the show, from the stage show, which is that she is telling their story in reverse chronology. He is telling it in chronological order. Her name is Kathy. So the couple is Kathy and Jamie, played by Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan. So she's telling the story backwards. He's telling the story forwards. On stage, they are never actually together on stage until the point where the two stories cross. So where they really played with the adaptation for this movie is they are together most of the time.
Of course. I mean,
well, no, not of course. That was where they decided to have their fun adapting. My only hiccup. Love both performances, love the music, love what they do with each other. Absolutely. Across the board, like it a lot. My only thing is that they do not, to me, they don't employ the medium of film as well as they could.
Let me
make my point. Close your eyes and envision Roxy Hart in Chicago, or close your
that
eyes.
Is not... Hold on,
no, it is, no. This is important. Close your eyes and envision the staging of Step Into the Bad Side from Dreamgirls. Close your eyes and envision.
Stop.
Close
your... Wait. Stop making comparisons, it, though. No, to but big musical numbers.
But that's okay.
This is a more
stop. Okay, stop and close your eyes and imagine the Tango Maureen in Rent. That's what
again,
this is.
No,
you are adapting. No, absolutely, you are adapting one medium into another medium, and it's not enough just to, you know, pigeon on a branch this shit and lock off the camera. You need to employ every trick in the book, and I feel like it could have gone way further. It's good. Again, I'm not saying it's bad, and not far from it. It is not bad, but I wanted more.
You wanted a different musical. You wanted something flashy with dance numbers. And...
No, I want this musical. Give me some staging.
They did give you staging.
Not really.
It's a very minimal, like, it's all about the music. It's
right.
Like,
so is Chicago. Well, Chicago as a stage show is minimal. Rent as a stage show is minimal.
Those are also huge casts.
Sure.
This is the cast of two people.
Right. All the more reason to trump it up. If you're only giving me two people plus extras.
They absolutely did trump it up.
Nah. Not so much.
But you haven't seen the stage show.
I can imagine. It's not hard for me to imagine. And again, like, I liked this movie. I'm not saying it's bad. It's the only bone I have to pick with the whole movie is...
If you wanted a different movie.
No, I want more movie in my movie. The music is great. The performances are great. Imagine something. Like, let your imagination run away a little bit and just do a little... Just a little. And they don't even all have to be that way. Just pick something like... two or tops three showcase number and trump them up.
And what, bring in dancers?
No, I don't want dancers. It could be the two of them.
Which they did.
Not so much.
I think you need to give that an... I'm going to say watch it again.
I will, and I intend to, but that's not going to change because I know the staging is all practical. The staging just does not feel like it was blocked.
I think you need to watch it again.
I will, but
there are things you didn't see.
No, there's a lot I saw. I'm just saying there are no set pieces in this movie. There are numbers. There are no set pieces at all, and I wanted some set pieces.
It's not that type of musical.
But it can be.
No, it doesn't have to be.
But it can be.
You want it to be something that it's not.
Okay, well, we're going to argue this into the ground, and that's not going to be any fun for anybody to listen to. Did you... Now, the one thing I do want to ask, because this is now our 12th festival together, our 12th festival period, not even just together, but our 12th festival. Are you getting at all either fatigued with this whole thing?
Yes.
Or
don't ask me that.
No. But I just mean, like, just, you know, because I do know people who have said, like, well, this is what you do with your time and money. And, you know, coming into the week, there were a lot of people all through the course of the summer who were griping about the process of selecting and how much this was all costing. You know, is it the kind of thing where you gripe, you kind of grumble about it as the weeks lead up, but then once you're in it, you're enjoying it? Or do you find that you're getting less from it?
I don't know. It's hard for me because I wasn't in, like, a good place leading into this in terms of me working straight into it and being completely burnt out and exhausted right before TIFF.
Yeah.
And then starting TIFF and not really having the mentality to go into it.
Right.
So that's hard for me to answer. It doesn't mean that next year I'm not going to be in a place where I'm really excited about it. This year, there was a lot that I would have, that I had tickets for that I probably would have been fine just swapping for sleep.
Right.
But that said, then I would have missed a lot of the things that I really loved or ones that weren't high on my list and I wouldn't have known I was going to love. With the exception of The Last 5 Years, which obviously it's a musical. I was really looking forward to it. Pigeon on a Branch. I never would have seen that outside of TIFF, and I'm so glad I saw it here. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd hate to miss out on
You're glad things. That you're forcing yourself in some respects.
Yeah, like sometimes it's hard and you don't necessarily have the energy and you have to drag yourself to a screening and talk yourself into going because you're exhausted. But And sometimes, it's not worth it because you saw something that was maybe not great or that you slept through because it wasn't enough to keep you awake. But at the same time, then I hate even stuff that I hear other people talking about and I didn't see. I feel sad that I didn't get to see it with the TIFF audience because it's... There is something to be said about seeing a film with the TIFF audience or any film festival audience than catching it later.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not disenchanted with this at all, actually. And I actually found as the week went on, it was quite the opposite. Like I remember thinking, why were we complaining about how much this costs? And why were we complaining about how hard the tickets were to get and so on and so on?
Because well, the tickets weren't hard to get for us.
No, they weren't. But you know, we play with a rigged deck. But it's just like, it's the kind of thing of sometimes I think we forget how much fun it is when we're in it. And as much as we like to bemoan it going in, and as much as we like to kind of grumble about how much it costs and all that thing, once it gets started and once we start hanging out with our friends and, you know, me taking time away from the office and you know, like, let's face facts. Curiously, it's a vacation where I end up less rested than I was going in. It's still, right now for me, it's still a lot of fun. And my motto with stuff like this is I'm only going to do it as long as it's fun. And the second I start feeling like it's not fun anymore, that's different. I'll find something else to do with my time and money and energy. So I'm still having fun. I like that I can go to one particular square block of the city, stand in one spot for 10 minutes, and one of my friends will walk by. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I'm not bored of that at all. Where there were a lot of out-of-towners came in this year. A lot of people who are, you know, are kind of like levels above me that I got to meet and hang out with and have a beer with this year. A lot of people coming in for the first time. And even though, as I said, like the movies I saw were good, not great, I still really, so far, am getting quite a bit out of this festival. I'm not quite ready to pack it in just yet. I do miss going to movies with you. So we may have to fix that for next year. And I'm still comfortable at where I'm seeing with like 25. You're still kind of happy with that threshold? You don't see yourself... No, going up or going down?
I mean, I could go more. I just think next year I need to think about my schedule a little better. I think why I'm so tired is because of my schedule was really poor this year.
Will you think next year saying like not starting before a certain time or ending at a certain time?
My issue was I had my gaps between films were too long.
Right.
And so I was out all day every day.
Right.
Every day I was coming in late. I was always like out of the house at the latest, like 10:30 in the morning,
right.
Which I mean isn't early,
right?
Because I know a lot of our friends were, you know, out at like 7.
Yeah, yeah.
But this being my vacation,
yeah,
and you know, being out for at least 12 hours to only see 3 films,
yeah, yeah, it was just
poor scheduling. Yeah. I would rather have a small gap in between films and just go bang, 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 and then if I want to have dinner with someone, do that, and then come home. It was just not worth it. The amount of time I spent out for the amount of films that I actually saw didn't match up. I could have easily seen another 10 films and not been out of the house any longer than I already was.
Yeah. Well, the People's Choice Award winner was Imitation Game. Neither one of us saw it. Yeah. Was it even on your shortlist?
It wasn't my shortlist, but it seemed like one of those films that had the possibility to be terrible.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't pick it.
Yeah, me, same with me. So, you know, we have that to look forward to. And I
have to say, one thing I want to mention, of all the films I saw, the most charming director that I saw was, I almost didn't see This Is Where I Leave You because it comes out in like a week, but man, it's not only not a bad film, but Sean Levy,
yeah.
he has to be the most charming director I saw all year this year.
Oh,
when he came out and did his intro, he was just lovely.
Well, I have that to look forward to later this week, because that comes out on Friday, and I didn't catch up with it, so I've got that to go check out later on. You know, while part of me is a little bit disappointed that we didn't get some of the movies that are going to go on to play festivals like the New York Film Festival, stuff like Gone Girl and Inherent Vice and Birdman.
But
here's the thing. I'm also, on the other hand, I'm also happy because that gives me a lot of stuff still to look forward to this fall. A lot of stuff still to catch up with. So,
although I do like, because you know things get busy sometimes, and I don't have time to go.
You like to have a few of them scratched.
I do. I like to. I know some people are like, "Why are you seeing that?"
Yeah.
Like
no,
this comes out in 2 weeks. Realistically, 2 weeks after TIFF, I'm not usually in the headspace to go to the movies, and I end up missing these things that I don't see at TIFF.
Yeah.
Specifically because they're going to be released soon, just because I'm tired. Yeah. So sometimes it's better just when you're in the mindset of TIFF just to see what you want to see.
No, it's going to be a busy autumn. We will get to that autumn on the Matinee Cast and wrap up our TIFF coverage. There were a lot of posts that went up this weekend, including a written piece about What We Do in the Shadows, a written piece about the pigeon on his branch contemplating existence and
reflecting
on his existence. So please go to thematinee.ca and check out a lot of those. I wrote just like short blurbs, which are rather nonspecific about all these movies, and I would love it if you find folks gave a read.
And sometimes I feel like doing these podcasts right when we get home from the last day of TIFF, I just feel like I've been rambling, and I'm so tired to... So I'm sorry if I've just not...
I'm sure it's fine. The Matinee Cast proper gets back on track. I believe it is going to be getting back on track in October, just because there is really nothing coming out the rest of September that I want to waste your folks' time and attention on. So we'll be coming back the first weekend in October to talk about Gone Girl. In the meantime, lots more writing on the Matinee, so please do check that out. There'll be Blind Spots, there'll be my critic series with Jandy Hardesty. All of that coming up over the next 2 weeks. And if people have any sort of interest on following you on Twitter, where can they find you?
At Lindsay Ragone.
Spell it.
LINDSAYRAGONE.
Very cool. My space is thematinee.ca. For more podcasting content, you can find it by going to thematinee.ca/podcasting. You can also follow me on Stitcher Radio, iTunes Store. You can get me through... apps in Android and all over the place. Feedback on TIFF in general, on how tired I sound right now, or on What We Do in the Shadows, if you happen to have seen it, can be sent to ryan@thematinee.ca, Twitter, ryan@matinee_ca, or facebook.com/darkmatinee. For Lindsay Ragone, I am Ryan McNeil. This has been TIFF 2014. We'll see you at the Matinee.